You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You know, there's not many things that you would just say, shh, Radiohead, shh. That's enough, boys. There you go. Thank you. Go and do something genius. Off you go. Go into the genius tent and come out with something amazing again. Go on, off you go. See you guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. See you. Bye-bye. All right, they've gone. Come in, Beck, quick. Come in. Ladies and gentlemen, in the BFM studios now for BFM Breakfast this morning. What a pleasure to say. Hi, Beck Ronger. How
good
are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm really good.
Do you remember that time we first met here in the BFM studios all the way back? We've kept the studio exactly the same for you.
Yeah, I know.
So that when you
like
came
going back to the 90s, you and me.
But look, the same filth there.
Yeah.
Same bit of... But an unclean thingy there, and that thing over there still doesn't go, and all that. But how are you? How are you?
I'm really good. I was just saying off here how great it is to hear you on BFM again, Mikey.
So it's
really nice to see
you. And it is cool to have you here talking about the anniversary edition of your beautiful album, Drive. And the additional tracks and additional music you've added to it, and tell us all about it, Beck Ronger.
Well, it's been 20 years since my debut album came out, and we've just re-released it to celebrate the 20 years, because, you know, 20 years is quite significant, and, you know, we're doing some shows which we're
Plus
hoping to...
Plus it's an awesome album.
Oh, thanks, yeah. I mean, I was so young when I made this, and I guess there's maybe five tracks on this record, which I think
You look heaps older now, by the way.
Right. Yeah,
I can't hear the sarcasm in my voice there, listeners.
It's a portrait of you in an attic getting older. You're just
sitting there
fair.
Doing some needlepoint or something like that. Oh, it's good back then when we released it. You look exactly the same, just so you know. But yeah,
thanks.
You've just got a wealth of better material.
Radio.
Yeah.
Woo.
So 20 years. I mean, how do you feel about it now when you look back on it?
I think it's you know, it's amazing that I can't believe I'm still, you know, I am making music still, and how do I feel about it? I was just saying there's maybe half a dozen tracks on the record that I'm still really happy with. You know, there's lots that didn't really work, but it's still a good body of work I'm happy
still
with.
Still a bit antsy about some of them, eh? Yeah.
We have a segment here at BFM called Anniversary Albums, which is on the Monday Morning Glory. It's Geneva and Sam, and they get really, really into things when they realise it's an anniversary of an album, as the name suggests.
Special day.
And they did Drive not so long ago, obviously. And I remember sitting in the newsroom and lots of people running back and forth from Studio One being, oh, yeah, this track.
Aww.
Oh, yeah, this one.
That's
funny. Great as well.
Isn't that funny? Well, I mean, you know, I was just, there's lots of anniversaries of that year, and like I'm reading in the paper, like the Sky Tower was put up that year, and
you know,
Lady Diana died, and it was taking me back thinking about all these things.
I don't sit there in my car feeling emotional and think about the Sky Tower. I sit there in my car and I listen to your music. You know, maybe I've done that 1,000 times. I've never thought about the Sky Tower in all of its 20 years. I've never thought, Sky Tower, I just need a bit of me in the Sky Tower moment, you know?
No, I do remember the Sky Tower because I just come up from Christchurch and I was watching it being built and I was thinking, what is this place? I remember, you know,
it's
moving to Auckland.
Stupid thing they're building.
Right, yeah. I know, and it was a real Auckland experience for me. So, yeah, Sky Tower.
Your debut album was a unique experience, wasn't it, as far as, you know, female singer-songwriters in New Zealand go? Would that be right?
It was
unprecedented just how massive and the record company
pushed
behind it.
Totally. And, you know, just before me there was Super Groove that had made a number one album, and then I think major labels were thinking New Zealand music was all good to push, and then I was signed and they gave me amazing control. They let me produce the record and write all the songs, and that was very unusual. I think about that now and that is strange. So
it puts a lot of pressure on you though to deliver some goods and you know, back in the day when the record companies hadn't really figured out stuff, that was back then when things were starting to unravel, weren't they?
Right.
As far as you know, with the change in the digital music phenomena,
yeah, sure.
And so you'd had like I remember thinking that there was a lot of pressure on you to make things right in their eyes, you know, and to keep things.
I guess so. Yeah.
To a certain place, you know.
Yeah. I suppose there was a little bit of that, but not so much. You know, it was okay. I think, and they kind of put me in with a lot of producers, and it didn't work out. And then I just thought,
see, that alone must be pretty hard as a songwriter. You know?
That was getting out of hand, and so I was, you know, being
just
shipped
stop
around.
It.
Yeah, I was being shipped around the world with all these, you know, producers, and then I just thought this could go on forever. So I just, you know, made it myself, and it worked.
Yeah. Yay! And you've been making music. You didn't have it. Never took some time off, did you?
No, I did.
You possessed? Well, really?
I've got a family now, so I did sort of lay low for a little while. I guess I was making records still, but just, you know, not able to tour internationally anymore. So I'm, you know, just sort of trying to do both now.
So when you think back to when you made the album, what's your immediate thought straight away? When you think of this album, I mean, because only you made it, and right. Your songs, and you know, 20 years hindsight must be quick, yeah.
I was going to say fifth form poetry, which is what I was really, really young. Yeah. You know, some of it I wrote when I was like 19, and I guess, you know, I think that's maybe my only cringe is that some of the lyrics are quite, you know,
how old
childish.
Were you when it came out?
I think I was 20 or 21. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Oh, so you wrote it all the way back when you were 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the year before.
I was, yeah, yeah.
There was fifth form in 19. Yeah. Yeah. Right, yes. So should we play All Four Down, shall we? Now this is off.
Sure.
Daylight, let it stir you.
This isn't on the original album, is it? This is on the re-release.
This is on the re-release. These are B-sides. Yeah.
I hit this on CD single.
Yeah, did you?
Oh, Sedingle.
Sedingle. Did you really?
We all did, Beck, just so you know.
Me fanning out.
It was real. It was real. The adoration was real. It's real.
On and on and on. Cradle so deeply. So.
Now, that's as we melted half the listenership there into that pool of delight. Beck Ringer, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio with us celebrating the 20th anniversary of Drive. Was actually a few weeks ago, wasn't it? But the album's out with a couple of extra tracks. That's one of them. What are the other ones?
I don't even know.
Here's a reference document for you.
They just wheeled me out here. I guess...
I say the album's out again. Do you remember it, love?
close the door, put out the light. I mean, yeah, what is this stuff?
Are you reading it? who's this person?
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, extra tracks on the re-release of Drive. Anniversary re-release with extra tracks.
Oh, dear.
And it's fully endorsed by the artist.
Yeah, hey, Beck, someone's just texted in. Don't cringe, Beck. Only you think it's adolescent. This album is my fave. I lived in New York. Beck, when it came out. I played it there. A lot of people all ages loved it.
Oh, that's kind. Thanks, person.
It's a very, it's a standout album. You know? And all your music's amazing, you know?
Thanks,
You've never dropped the ball, Beck. I'll tell you what.
That's nice of you to say that.
So what's your latest stuff? What are you doing sort of musically at the moment?
Well, this might be dropping the ball. I've just been trying to retrain my voice to something more strange.
Yodeling?
Yeah. No. I've been on this opera course actually because I really want to learn how to sing really, really high, and that's kind of my aim in life right now is just to sing, you know, ludicrously high. But you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know.
I did not expect you to say that then. That's pretty cool though. What inspired that? Just the whole.
I don't know. Well, I guess.
Was it the Fifth Element? There's that blue opera singer.
Mikey, are you joking?
No.
It actually was.
Really?
No. You bring Cody and you ask him. He's like, we would just talk about that Fifth Element scene where that blue alien sings opera, and I just want to be that alien now. It's what I want to do.
I had that same conversation with someone yesterday. That's really weird. Are you serious?
That's funny. No, you and me, man, the 90s.
Okay.
You can see it though, eh? You can see me as a blue alien.
No, I can see how as a singer you can look at that and you can just go, I can do that. I'm gonna play that later on as well. Might as well. Technique! Okay, we're gonna play another Beck song. Beck. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, I feel like I should ask you when you're in the studio.
Is it alright? Do I have permission?
Devil on Tambourine. Paints quite a picture, Beck. What was the inspiration for Devil on Tambourine?
I wrote with Cody, my partner, and
who was on the tambourine?
He was talking about the Devil on Tambourine because that's a Miles Davis quote.
Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.